Just one thing. Several years ago, coming from California, living in the Central Valley, California, they grow a lot of grapes in the Central Valley, make a lot of raisins. Then I don't know if you've seen raisins grow. They don't grow like the raisins, and then they put them out in the ground and let them dry up, and then you get them after they go get through processing. So long story short, I came up here to Portland, and I discovered Concord grapes, and that you make Concord grapes, or that they grow here very well. So I got a couple of vines several years ago, and they grow. And they grew very well. And a couple of years ago, I did some alterations, and when I did, I pruned them back. And I pruned them so severely that the next year, they didn't produce any grapes. And then last year, they produced an amazing amount of grapes, and I harvested maybe 15 or so gallons worth of grapes, and then put them into juice, and then 5 cups of juice and 7 cups of sugar, and voila, jelly, grape jelly. Long story short is that I've got 24 jelly jars of grape jelly, so probably one to a family unit, and you're welcome to have that when you leave today. And you can have, if you like me, I like peanut butter and jelly on toast in the morning. And so, and then you can remember, living life in His name, living on mission with Jesus, because that's important piece of our lives. And so you'll have this. I just want to say, they are not constructed, it's handcrafted grape jelly. So it's in my own kitchen, and it's not stainless steel and all of that. Long story short is that eat it at your own risk. I just want to say. And I am not responsible for any adverse effect, and I am unsuable. You can't sue me for your adversity. So I just want to say that. And so there are, I'll be this one and 23 other jars that are back there, and you're welcome to it as you leave. Looking forward to the new year. And all of you guys, thanks for Emmy Cole. She sent me pictures of all your hard work. And I'm saying, wow, this is amazing. This is kind of like handcrafted grape jelly. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. So it's amazing what goes on in celebrating our New Year festivities. But we're looking at the Gospel of John. And we're looking at it from the angle of the mission of God. And the mission of God begins in Genesis, it ends in Revelation. And we're a part of that engaging life in His name. And I looked specifically at the Gospel of John, kind of highlighting it. And in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life is the light of men. And so John, in that Gospel, talks about origin, talks about where life comes from, and if it comes from Him, then life as we would live it in the 21st century also is generated through Him and by Him. The Gospel of John demonstrates the heart of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through Him. The only verse in Scripture that identifies the meaning of eternal life is found in John chapter 17, verse 3, where Jesus is praying His high priestly prayer, and He says, "This is eternal life, that you may know Him, the only true God, and Me, whom He has sent." It's a relational quality of life, of finding our origin in God, finding regeneration in God, that is the newness that God gives to us, and living life day by day. Like the song Oceans, and His love never fails, and He walks us through life to where He finally leads us to where we want to see life as it, where it comes from. Oops. Life in His name. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, but these were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in His name. Now, I'm interpreting this a little bit different, but the idea of existential life, life that you have and I have, even as we live today. We got up this morning, the alarm went off far before I wanted it to, and
I was thinking, this is warm, this is nice, this is cozy. Let's just stay in bed this another little while. And my wife says, no, you're supposed to go to work today. You get to speak to these people at Chinese Faith Church. No, that's not true. She didn't say that. Anyway, long story short.
But it was like, okay. Because, long story short is that we live life in His name. I had my little toast and peanut butter and grape jelly, and voila, here I am, just with you. So, and then we'll do things all through the day. We'll do things through the week. You go to school. You may work. You may be, like me, retired a bit and trying to figure out what I do every day. And so, but that's life. And we may live long time. We may live short time. But in relationship to God, we live life in His name. And as we live life in His name, we live on mission. Jesus said, concerning that life, I have come that you might have life and that you would have it abundantly, to the complete, to the full. And I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So, highlighting those ideas, we have gone through the Gospel of John, and we've recognized that there are certain aspects of the Gospel of John. There are statements, and I'm not trying to, well, I am. I'm trying to confuse you, but there are statements in the fact that there is instruction and statements that are made, seven I am statements centered on John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. And we're going to look at two of those statements today when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And in John 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. We've looked at four terms that are represented in the Gospel of John. First of all, life. That was the first week. In Him is life, and life is the light of man. So if He's the origin of life, in relationship to Him, I'll learn how to live life. I'll learn how to engage life. I'll have resources to do life 365, however many years I live on the earth. Light. Last week we talked about light. Light is kind of giving direction. Jesus was with the disciples. They went to Jerusalem. As he went to Jerusalem, it was a feast in which it was commemoration of the Israel wandering in the Old Testament from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan. And in that, God directed them and led them. As they were celebrating the Feast of Booths, Jesus got up and said, I am the light of the world. In other words, He can give direction of life, help us to see what's eternal over against what's temporal. He helps us see what really matters in the affairs of things. Then today we're going to talk about love. As the Father has loved me, even so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God does not know God, for God is love. In John chapter 13, Jesus says, now this is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself and glorify Him at once. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, and you will seek me, just as I have said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. But a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You shall also love one another. By this shall all people know that you are my disciples, because you have love for one another. Now, these three words, life, light, and love, become tangible in our life experience as we trust in Him day by day. See the words that says, these things I have written unto you, that's the Gospel of John, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing them, you may have life in His name. Here is the hitch. Most of us struggle in our faith. Like you sang in the song, oceans, and there are waves. And we get disoriented. And there are challenges that are beyond our comprehension. And we run out of our own personal resources. And where do we go? How do we get perspective?
key piece is faith, that we have entrusted our lives into His hands, and that we are engaging in life through His person and His power, through His Word and His Spirit. And He meets us in the midst of that.
And so He's written all this data, and all of this data that we have in the Gospel of John or the 66 books of the Bible is so that we may know Him and understand who He is and understand His way and His will in the world and recognize that there are two paths in this world. There's one with God and there's one without God. And I am choosing by faith to walk with God in the daily experiences of life as He shapes me and molds me and demonstrates His life through me. So, He says to His disciples in John chapter, actually begins in chapter 13 to chapter 16, I'm going to go away. I'm going to leave you alone. And you got to think about that for just a bit. Some of us have had challenges in which we've had to move from a place that was very comfortable to a place that is uncomfortable. Or we've had to change from a role in life that we really flourished into a place in life where it's just different. And it's just overwhelmingly challenging. It's kind of like when I got in high school and graduated and by the skin of my teeth, thank God. And because I had teachers that believed in me and what would I say, held my feet to the fire so that I would graduate and then went to school. College, and one of my teachers, my coach that helped my feet to the fire, my basketball coach said, you need to go to Bible school at least for a year before you enter into the real world. And so that ended up being 4 years and marriage. And then I got graduated from college. And then all of a sudden I got to work. I got to earn a living. I got a wife and I got responsibility. And then we moved from nice place and to a place that I didn't even know the people. And they didn't know me, and I didn't know whether they would want me or want me to be with them or not be with them. And then after they found out who I really was, they definitely may not want me around anymore. So here I was a pastor of a church. That was very young. I didn't know what I was doing, and so I kept going to school. So that's how I'm still in school. But the thing about it is that, how am I going to do this? Thankful I went to a church because those people are loving. And they have to. God told them to. You know what I'm saying? And so they had to learn how to love somebody that was not quite as lovely as they were, you know? And we survived and we ended up, you know, ended up 5 years in ministry and in seminary and then did it over again, 3 different churches, and then decided to become a museum piece in an academic institution. This is what they look like after a while. Okay. So in reality, but Jesus is going to go away. And when He's going to go away, He first of all does something very significant in John chapter 13. He doesn't do something of a demonstration of power, but He takes upon Himself the form of a servant and He washes the disciples' feet. And He demonstrates to them His camaraderie and His relationship with them. Now, I just want to say that to me is a metaphor of how He relates to even you and I. Why do they have to have their feet washed? Because they walk around without shoes. And when they walk around without shoes or with sandals, you know what happens to feet? They get dirty. And sometimes they get hard and callous. And mine, they would be very smelly. And so they washed the feet. And Jesus would wash the disciples' feet. And then they celebrated the upper room, the supper, the Lord's Supper. And there was a time of communion where He linked Himself with the sacrifice of the atonement, the Passover feast, where there's the Old Testament metaphor. And then He says to them, I'm going to go away. And then He says to them these words, let not your hearts be troubled. John 14, verse 1. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me, except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. and remained in my, excuse me, and where I'm going. You would know where I'm going. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going and we don't know the way. And Jesus says, what? I've been here so long and I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you would have known the Father, you would have known me. And so, haven't you been paying attention? Haven't you been engaging? We've been living life together for about 3 years now. Come on, come on. And then Philip says, show us the Father and it will be enough for us. And Jesus says, have I been so long that you did not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The word that I say to you, do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves. So Jesus says, wait a minute, it's me. And then he goes on to say in John chapter 14 that I will not leave you orphaned, but I will send the Holy Spirit that will come to be with you and dwell with you. He's a paraclete, and he's going to come alongside you every day. And so that happened in the book of Acts, and the Spirit of God comes to indwell us. And then in John chapter 15, he said these words, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that he bears fruit, he prunes it that it brings forth more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and my word abide in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in me, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches that are gathered and burned with fire. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you wish and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as the Father has kept his commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may be, my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is the commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer have I called you servants, for a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. So you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask in the Father's name, it will be given to you. These things I have commanded you, so that you will love one another. And then in John chapter 16, Jesus says, I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be working in the world to bring to light sin, righteousness, and judgment, the need for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So whatever my commandments, keep them. So whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. This is my commandment, that you love one another. I'm going too fast. Perspective that he's giving. And there's just three things that I want to do. And I'm going to do this real quickly, okay? First of all, Jesus kind of lays it out. He says to the disciples, and I think he's saying to us today, he says, Jesus said, I am the vine. And he says, my Father is the vine dresser. In other words, God the Father is the one who is the sovereign dominion over all creation. We can see that in Sunday school when we talked about creation to new creation, Genesis to Revelation, and God is working and planning. And it's going on. It's going on whether we have faith in him or whether we don't have faith in him, but it is going on, and God is doing his work, and it's moving toward what we find is found in the book of Revelation. And he has told it to the disciples, and he is telling it to us because we're not servants, we're his friends. He says, I've laid it all out. You can all see it. And he says, Jesus says, I am the vine. And the Father is the vine dresser, and you, or we, are branches, and branches do something. They bear fruit. The purpose of the of life in His name. One is to glorify Father. That's the bear fruit. And what kind of fruit? Well, I looked at Scripture, and as I looked at Scripture, now I don't know that John had this in mind, but I know that God had this in mind because it kind of unfolds in other parts of the passages of the Bible. But fruit bearing is one is having Christ-like character. If I walk with someone long enough, then I want to be kind of like someone. For instance, when I was a young guy and I was learning how to be a pastor, my mentor was a guy named Wes Phillips, and he lived in a town in Illinois, and I lived in a town in Illinois, and he's the one that arranged that this church should call me as a pastor, and because of influence of him, they did call me as pastor. They didn't know what they were getting into, and I didn't know what I was getting into. Okay? But then, my friend, Pastor Wes Phillips, he was a mentor to me, and he was a man that I knew about in Denver, Colorado, because I worked with him. He was planting a church at that time, and I was working with youth and helping him start a youth group as he was planting this church. And then he went to Illinois, and then I went to Illinois to be with him. He was a man of the Word, Scripture, and he was a man of discipline. In fact, he was a runner. That is interesting. And he knew that I needed discipline because I was kind of a little bit... Well, I'll tell you, when I went to college, the first year I was in college, I had a roommate. His name was Buddy Schofield. Buddy Schofield's in heaven now, okay? And we go into my dorm room, and on Buddy Schofield, he had been in the Navy for a few years, okay? And all of his underwear were folded and laid out neat. You know what I'm saying? My side of the room. It looked like I was waiting for my mother to come clean. You understand what I'm saying? There's a difference, okay? I learned to be a little bit more like Buddy. I'm not there yet, okay? He's a little too tight. That's why I say that. But the point of it is that Wes Phillips, I wanted to be kind of like him. I wanted to have his discipline. I wanted to have some of the qualities of his life. Some of them were a little overdone, and I said, I don't want to do that. I'm a little too lazy. So you become like the one who you relate to. And we relate to God. And out of it comes the movement of the Spirit of God. In Galatians chapter 5, we find some terms. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control become a part of the character of our life that is oozing out. It just can't help it. It just oozes out. And then and there's a confession of praise. It's the fruit of the lips. Praise to God, the celebration of life. That's found in the book of Hebrews chapter 13. And then contributing to the needy, that's in Philippians chapter 4, 16. And communicating Christ, John chapter 4, which is bearing witness to his name. And then a commitment to bless others in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The point of it is they're characteristics. Now, I can do all of those things as a checklist. And it's good. And people will even praise me. They say, "Why, he's a cool man, he's good." Okay, now they may not say that. They may be a little more reserved than that, okay? I understand that. But if it isn't doing it in union and communion with God through the power of His Spirit, it is another self-righteous activity. There is some quality that I think is represented in the fruit of the vine where there is this relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in me and my engagement with Him, and that He bears fruit with me. It's a part of, I practice disciplines, but the disciplines call me into a union with Him. So then how does it happen? And that's the point. In the bottom of your sermon notes page, if you're one to fill in blanks, I hope I got these right. I revamp these things all the time, and it messes things up. I'll just say that. But I think years ago, first church out of seminary, I went to a conference, and it was over in Santa Barbara. And the keynote speaker of the conference for pastors was a guy named Warren Wiersbe. Some people know his name. Some people don't even think it sounds weird or something. But he's an old guy now. But he talked about John 15, and it stuck with me. And I wrote it all down, and I've kind of kept it all my life. But he's talked about, you know, how does this interrelate the fruit of the vine and the terms that are used in John 15? At the final summation, he says, is that I write these things that my joy may be in you and that your joy would be complete. Kind of like the same idea, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So that there is a joy of life, a celebration of life. Now, I didn't grow up that way. I grew up in a life that could look at the flaws of everything and see it'd be sober and serious. You know, what can I say? There's no fun here. In fact, my father, the only way he could have fun was have a beverage that would help him be happy. So, okay, we won't go into that. But the whole idea is that joyful living comes in doing life where you're sensing God is at work. One of my other favorite heroes is a guy who was a missionary to China, as a school teacher. His name was Eric Little. And they did a movie about him several years ago, which is a little popular, but it's not, you know, what's called. And he loved to run, okay? And I run because I have to. No, I don't run anymore because I'm old. I want to, but I can't. Anyway, long story short, he says, I know God has made me for a purpose in the movie. And when I run, I sense its pleasure. When I live life, I sense its pleasure. God, this is what you want out of me. This is how I'm living. I think that joyful living is living a life that bears fruit in his name. And I know this is pleasing to God. Fruit bearing, the secret of fruit bearing is abiding. That's a key term here. Abiding is my grapes don't produce grapes unless they're abiding in the vine. And abiding is a kind of a natural phenomenon of engaging with God and his word and the power of his spirit to think through life and engage in life. Abiding is related to loving. As we abide together, we learn to love and love of a different dimension than loving in a human, normal, natural dimension. American love is as fickle as the latest movie or whatever. We have Christians and non-Christians have a high divorce rate, as high as in any other country. Because we haven't learned to love, we've learned to romance, but loving is far different than romance. It is an engagement of heart and passion and purpose and uniting together. Loving is the secret to obeying. If I love someone, then I want to do something that is in keeping with that life that he's given. And in God's sense, it's the new commandment. By this all men know you are my disciples, if you love one another. A new commandment I give to you. You'll be obeying the commandment as you love God. You'll be obeying in relationships with people. Obeying relates to knowing. John 13, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, well, we don't know all about that. And Jesus says, I've been so long with you, and you don't know? The more you know, the more you engage, and the more you know who God is and what he has done in the world, as contrasted to all the other information, the challenge is, I've got life in his name. There's something very unique and very significant. And then knowing is ultimately leads to what I would call joyful living. Very simple, very easy, very quick, very hard to do, very actively engaging. Peter didn't understand that as you read the Gospel of John. Because as you read the story, and the narrative of the Gospel of John, we see that Jesus now prays and then afterwards moves to the crucifixion. And if you compare it with the other Gospels, you know Peter said, I don't know this guy. And he was very adamant about that. But in John chapter 21, it's very unique. I think it's a very unique feature demonstrating the love of God. Jesus comes to his disciples after the resurrection. And you know the story. And he says, hey, you fishermen out there, how you doing? Oh, he says, you got a lot of fish. No, they embarrassed it. You know, I used to fish a little bit. I quit because
because I couldn't catch them. So I decided I ought to give it to somebody else and let them, you know, sit there for hours and hours and drown and stuff. Well, they said, we haven't caught a thing. And Jesus said, hey, try throwing it in the other side. Throw your nets in the other side. And they got fish. You remember the story. And then by the time they came together, Jesus did something that he had done before, evidently. And that he had said, come on, let's eat together. Let's have a celebration of the Chinese New Year together. We eat together. But it was Jesus in there. And then as he broke the pieces of the fish and they ate, he said, Peter, do you love me? Can you imagine what that would have been like? Do you love me? Peter had said, God, I'll die with you. But then when the chips were down, he was disoriented and the waves were coming upon him and he was challenged, you know, like getting out of the boat. That's another story. And Peter says, you know, I love you. And there's a play on words there. And we're not sure all about that. And if you read commentaries and if you do your own work, you got your own commentary about what all goes on there. But I think the point is, do you love me? And then he says, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, which is a shepherd metaphor, which Jesus used in John chapter 10. Jesus says there are two kinds of shepherds. There's ones that just tend sheep. In the sense where they do it for their own personal purposes. And then there's others that, like he was, I lay my life down for the sheep. And Peter learned. Peter was learning. And Jesus hasn't left him. You understand what I'm saying? That's kind of a unique story. And you feel like, oh, I didn't do very well this week. I didn't do very well yesterday. You did great yesterday because you made all those little things. I saw them. And I'm going to eat some next week, okay? Or one. Or maybe not. I don't know how this works. I'll find out. The point being is that his love never fails. It never runs out on me. You sang it. And we can experience it as you walk through the challenges of life. I want to say, I'm an old guy, you know. I started a long time ago. And let me just say, there's enough reasons if God wanted to reject somebody, he could have rejected me. But he still does it. He's still doing it. And he'll do it with you. Because I am the vine, you are the branches, and he wants to bear fruit. And he will bear fruit as we abide. God, thank you for the privilege we have of living on mission with you, experiencing life in your name, and living on mission, seeing you work your work through us, bearing fruit, godly character, a passion to see people come to find life in your name, opportunity to be a part of a community that demonstrates the light and life of Jesus in the world that is around. Thank you for the privilege of having eternal life in knowing you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for the new year. Thank you for the time to renew our hearts in you. In Jesus' name, amen.